Well, there, lollygaggers. Another week on tap here. Lollygagging sports. I'm Bo Reed along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. Samantha, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Are you still buried under snow?
No.
No? It's fine now?
Might come back. Might not.
All right, Irby, how about you? You're supposed to be a little stormy up there. We're not quite stormy down here yet in Texas. Or in South Texas.
There was a little wet today, but, you know, all's good. All's good. Had first softball game last night. Started my season off with a bases-clearing triple to the opposite field.
Wow.
So, take that. The low light of that was as I was approaching third, the 20-something-year-old third base coach was still waving his arm, and I had to give him a look like, really? And then he held up the stop sign like, okay, that sounds better.
Okay. I really don't know where to go with that. That's okay.
We were up 7-0. There was no out. So it's that moment of like, really, man, you want me to? I was like, I'll do it. But are you sure that it was? Okay, yeah, go ahead and stop. Like, yeah, that's probably best for everybody involved.
God, my knees hurt just thinking about that. All right, well, we got a fun show. Go be some more baseball. I feel like that's going to be the theme for the next few weeks. I don't know. I could be wrong. Samantha, you want to kick us off with a little rapid fire?
Sure. We got one football question here.
Okay.
The rest is all baseball. So, a bit thin on news this week in general, but there's been some football news that unfortunately must be addressed. So, I'm sorry to disrupt everyone in this manner, but one thing that has to be taken care of. These guys are going to get 10 total, and some of them have right answers, and they only have a moment. They will have one opportunity to be involved in this. To come back and further explain, should they so choose, on one of their answers. So we will be getting the football, so we can get that out of the way. So Kyler Murray has been let go by the Cardinals. Where do you think he ends up?
I mean, obviously he's going to end up somewhere in the. Someone's going to give him another shot, but I can't imagine who. Minnesota, maybe. So, yeah, I guess I'll just go with Minnesota.
Okay.
Playing esports.
Esports?
It's in the game.
No, not EA Sports, just esports. It's a,
hey, the pun still works.
Bo might be right. The Vikings one might make sense.
It's Vikings and Falcons seem to be the two that are the most likely. We will see what happens. Okay. Derrickson Profar about the steroids again, which I'm not actually interested in discussing because he's not an important enough player for us to care about his legacy or his numbers. But I am curious what you think about sort of the Braves who are shaping up to be in a position quite similar to the one they were in last year, where the same dude got nailed for steroids, and the same list of people is starting to crop up on the injury report. So what is your like level of concern that we're going to get a repeat of last year with the Braves?
I think it's a significant concern, not necessarily because of Profar, but because of what you just said. Like all these the familiar names that are on the injury report. Just because the season ends doesn't mean your bad luck ends there. So yeah. I think it's a legitimate concern.
Maybe.
Yeah, same. I kind of want to go hug my friends that are Braves fans, because I can imagine being in that position. Because you're doing the same thing, just like it's about to get real bad.
Yeah. I agree. All right. So Profar obviously not being paid right now. But the problem was, of course, that the Braves didn't have any recourse after the first suspension. And look what happened. He reoffended. So it was tossed out there recently, actually by multiple people, that what probably ought to happen is if you fail one drug test, every contract you have after that should be non-guaranteed. And it should be voidable by whoever gives it to you. including the one that you had prior to that, that if you have failed a drug test, that nothing is guaranteed from there on out. And do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I also think an organization like Houston will spike a protein shake to get out of a contract.
Irby?
I would be in favor of that, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would too. I mean, I know what the argument against is going to be is like, what about the one time? And it's like,
right.
Well, somebody remind me of the one time where somebody did this and actually wasn't guilty, because like, I don't remember that actually.
Right.
So like, yeah, I guess
we'll Melky Cabrera?
There, no. It's never happened. So yeah.
Could we, how about this though? Could we have an addendum to this where, if you get popped for HGH, that's treated differently than actual steroids?
No, because I think we've seen what people can do with HGH when they abuse it, and it's no different. So I think that the way you solve that is that you legalize HGH with supervision. But no, I don't consider Barry Bonds to be a lesser offender than Roger Clemens. So no, we're not saying HGH is different, because it's not if it's abused. There is absolutely no reason you should be allowed to do that. It is going to give you just as much of an advantage. So no, definitely not. All right. Do you have a favorite baseball season? The trick is you can't pick a year because of anything that had to do with your own team. But other than taking out your team's World Series appearances or your team's whatever, do you have a favorite baseball season?
Mine is still, like, to this day, the home run chase between McGuire and Sosa.
Yeah, 98.
Yeah.
Me too. Harvey, what about you?
Caught me off guard because it was season. I immediately went to, I was like, like summer or fall? Like,
no, I did too, actually. Fall ball?
Like fall ball? Like, I'll come back if I can beat it, because the home run chase is sticking in my mind and I'm trying to think of something that would beat that, but that was very defining for our generation.
The only one that has particular significance to me that's not connected to my team in our, it does, I suppose, to be fair, have to be one while you were alive, is 2004. But that would be, to me, a distant second place to 1998. And those are the two that stick out to me. So, yeah, if you have another one later, you can always come back and mention that later. Okay, so Roki Sasaki cannot throw strikes, which is not new. This was a problem last year as well. So, like, what's the solution here? I mean, they've moved him around. They tried to make him a reliever. He was struggling again in spring training so far this season. Like, I mean, what do you do? What do you do with this guy at this point?
I wash your hands and move on. Like, I don't know what you can do. That hasn't already been tried.
Irby?
What can you try differently? DH? No, it might be time to move on.
You guys think they should just cut him? Really? That seems like a little much to me. I mean, wouldn't you try sending him to AAA first?
I mean, sure.
Sure you can. Why couldn't you?
You can.
He has options.
Okay, AAA, and then, yeah, okay, that makes more sense. How many options? Oh, yeah.
All right, so, you would have quite a few, so. All right, so, as a hitter, would you challenge a strike during a no-hitter?
Ooh. It feels kind of like a dick move, right? Like, it feels kind of like bunting to try to break up a no hitter.
Right.
It has that feel. If I've got bad blood with that pitcher, absolutely. If I've got bad blood with that team, absolutely. But if everything's on the up and up, I don't think I would.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could bring myself to do it.
I would absolutely do it because I don't care about your no hitter. I don't care about anyone's no hitter. No hitter is garbage. My official position remains that no hitters are garbage. And so, yes, I will take a walk if you have issued me one. I don't care about your no hitter any more than I've cared about it any other time, which is never. So, too bad for you. Don't care. All right.
The World Baseball Classic. I'll be honest. I have not watched any of these teams the last couple of weeks.
You just need to have,
I mean,
read up on the teams. So
I always go with the Dominicans, but I don't know. Team USA might do it again this year. I'm gonna go Team USA. I'm gonna stick with the Americans on this one.
It's hard to pick against that. I like the Dominicans, but I will take Team Japan once again.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd say it's either the U.S. or Japan. I mean, the DR is going to be interesting to watch because they really got embarrassed in the last one, so maybe some redemption there. It looks like a stacked lineup, but it also looked like a stacked lineup last time with what happened, so a little bit skeptical of that. Okay. So, other than the obvious teams, so taking out the U.S., Japan, Venezuela, and the DR, which WBC teams, if any, are you excited to see? Who's intriguing to you?
Outside of all the good ones? just because their uniforms make me laugh, Great Britain.
I guess they are. I don't know.
I think they are.
I have not seen their uniforms. Irving, what about you?
It's been a minute. You mentioned before the issues with the Dominican thing. It's been a minute since Puerto Rico, who seemed as though was in multiple finals before. So I'd love to see them do a little bounce back. Korea as well, and I normally would love to get excited about the Netherlands, but Jurgensen Profar Jurgensen Profar himself.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know that Dutch team is looking a little thin this time around. I think Canada looks pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm curious about Puerto Rico to see what we got there. I haven't heard a lot about Korea, so I'm assuming it's not going to be their strongest offering, and, Italy is always kind of interesting. You get some players from the U.S. there, so that might be interesting, and obviously the Czech Republic, which was sort of the darling team in the past, so it'll be interesting to see if they are able to create some magic again. Okay, the Ollie Marmol extension, thoughts?
The what? I didn't catch that.
The Ollie Marmol extension.
Oh, well, it is interesting because, like, they just sold off like the entire roster, right? So I guess they think this is the guy that's going to get them through this massive rebuild.
I'm game with giving another chance, but moving on with this, you're not where you were because of him either direction. So yes, this is, I got no issues with this, and it makes perfect sense. Also, considering what's out there, too, there's nothing out there that you want, extend the guy you have.
Okay, so the reason I asked this question was because there was a lot of talk that he was not doing well in terms of player relations. So that's actually why I asked.
Did they trade the players that he had problems with?
No, I don't think it was personal in that way.
Oh. Well,
he was considered to be a person who was pretty deep into analytics and not very good at relating to players. So that's the reason I asked the question. And I don't know if maybe no one was following this or what, but that's what I was actually asking about.
No, I didn't realize that was an issue. I'm interested. So it's kind of like another Minnesota Vikings all over again. That intrigues me to see what St. Louis does going forward. Are we going to start seeing? Because are you taking the stance of we're going to do what we want to do? This is our guy. If you don't have a problem, we'll move on from you.
Yeah, I can't see anybody doing that ever over a manager. like ever. I don't think the manager ever wins that one. Unless you're an expendable player in the first place, in which case, why would they care? But I can't imagine asking a roster full of talented baseball players to deal with a manager who they all hated. So I guess it makes me wonder if perhaps he has come around a little bit, or if they've reached some kind of compromise, or, I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe you're right, maybe they just don't care, but I would think you would have trouble bringing in free agents, and maybe you don't care about that right now, because you're not signing free agents, you're rebuilding, but yeah, it's odd, to say the least. Okay, give me your sneaky good team for this year. Who's your sneaky good team? Like, the team that's gonna maybe surprise the people and sneak into the playoffs.
Would the Diamondbacks still count?
Yeah, it's borderline, but yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, cause, you know, they did have a really good offseason, but they're also in the National League West, right? So it's a bit of an uphill climb to finish second in that division.
I was looking for a bigger swing than that, but it's technically an acceptable answer. Irby, what about you?
I won't even have to come back to this because we can just do that later. But the Cincinnati Reds.
Man, that's mine too.
I thought about the Reds. Awesome. I thought about the Reds too.
High five. RB, great minds think alike. That's the bold pick I was looking for there. I was afraid everyone was going to say the Pirates, but glad to know you're in both the Reds. So more on that later when we discuss this division. But all right, does anybody have anything they need to come back to?
Just one more thing on Profar, because they're. It's being appealed, and you know, I think agreements is going to be filed or something. Like, you look at what he took. You don't accidentally take that in the story. Stop this.
You don't accidentally take any of this stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I understand they're going to appeal it because, of course, they are, because this is just how the process works. That's fine. But, like, people need to stop with this. I accidentally took it because, no, you didn't.
No.
That's never been true. This has been true. Zero times. Like, oh, it was my ringworm medication. Like, oh, some weird guy on the street handed it to me and I just swallowed it. Like, anything you can come up with just makes you sound even dumber. Just stop.
The king will always be Rafael Palmeiro. It was a B12 shot. It was Winstrol, dude.
Yeah, that's the ringworm one really got me with Tatis. Like, you understand that, like, this is a thing that people get and they know how to treat it. And you could have just informed them that you were being treated. Well, give me a break. I don't think so. All right, Irby, anything you want to come back to?
Yeah, I'll do Profar as well. Go play the Mexican Baseball League. You're done in majors. Time to move on.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the trend of teams offering very early extensions to very young players. Mm. So, obviously, we've had some form of this for, 30 years now. It's John Hart started it in Cleveland, and then it kind of moved outward from there. And it was a pretty good system because it was a lot more of, like, a hybrid than what we're talking about here, where guys would play a couple years and then you would buy out the art portion of the contract, and it's kind of an everybody wins kind of thing. But now what we're seeing a lot of, and this started, I think it was last year with Churio, am I correct about this? That was the first one where we saw this happen with somebody who had not even played a single game of Major League Baseball. So yeah, so we're seeing a lot of that, and that's got to be the most absurd example, right? And maybe that's where we draw the line. Maybe we say, hey, if you've never actually taken a single at-bat or thrown a single pitch in the majors, we got to stop doing this. But, you know, we're seeing a lot of it, too, with guys who played, like, a partial season or most of the season and are being offered these pretty significant extensions in their second year. We just saw it with Nick Kurtz with the A's. So what do you guys – I guess I just want to know what you guys think. It's like, where's the line on this? Like, are you saying, like, hey, whatever, people offer up whatever you want? Are you saying, like, I never want to see this? Or is there maybe sort of a line that you come down on in terms of here's where it's reasonable and here's where it's not in terms of service time?
I mean, me personally, I want to see 3 years of that production.
Okay, so you're totally against this concept.
Yeah, okay. And
you're more looking at like the John Hart style.
Exactly. Concept. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Show it to me. If you are consistently productive for 3 years, then I know exactly how much to pay you, right? I also know what to expect, and I can fill out my roster accordingly. Giving one to a guy who hasn't even come up to the major leagues yet, or after one good rookie season, it's a lot of risk that I don't think is worth it. I also don't understand the hurry. They're under club control for 6 years. Why the rush?
Okay, so you're a hard no on this. I want to come back to what you said about the control in a second. But Irby, let's go to you first. So where are you at on this?
I'm mostly a no, but there's always special circumstances depending on the player that you have. I guess it depends on where you are in the organization and the position that it is. This is something that you've done your research, you've done your scouting, you've done watch through all that, and you're confident that this player is someone that you want to build around. Then I understand why doing this. So it's one thing you don't have to worry about financially for the next X number of years. It's something that you don't have to factor in, or you always have that number. It's there factored in. You build around that. I get that. It's risky, sure. We're talking great examples of some of these, and there's, you know, one of the earliest ones when you look back, the Astros did this way back in 2014 with John Singleton. That didn't work out so well.
Wasn't that a significantly smaller amount of money, though?
Well, in comparison at the time, yes.
Yeah, no, I don't think that counts. We're talking about mega contracts.
This here. Mega one?
Just guaranteed money.
I don't. I'm not a fan. I early 20s, I get it, but I need to see you on the field. Just because players, when you hit that wall, at some point in the minors or the majors, you're going to hit that wall, and a major leaguer, a long timer, finds a way to bounce back, work through. We've seen a lot of players, when they hit that wall in the majors, they never really truly recover. And if you've already handed out that big money, hands tied, but so yes, I'm gonna not a huge fan, but there will always be circumstances where okay, this one's worth it.
Okay, so this is interesting because it seems like all of us are mostly against this, but I think you guys are against it for a really different reason than I am, because you guys are against it because you want to protect ownership from making a bad investment. And I am against this because my thing is, there's no way they're offering something like this to you unless they are looking to take advantage of you.
True. So, very true.
Like, to me, it's like, I think you need to protect players from this. Like, I don't care if the billionaire loses money, okay? I don't care. Like, I don't think there's a lot of teams out there that are hard up for cash doing this. And if they are, they're probably being a lot more careful. And those are not the people we need to worry about. Like, if some team out there that has to be very thrifty about the way they spend does this, then they're probably not the ones we need to worry about. They're saying, like, okay, like, look, we're not going to be able to afford this guy if he gets good. So let's try to cut a deal down the middle that's a lot more in line with the way sort of the old, what we'll call the John Hart contract worked. It was sort of something that paid off for both sides. If you have the money to pay and you're doing this anyway, then I automatically assume you're trying to rip this guy off and take advantage of the scare tactics that, like, what if you hit a wall, like you said, or what if you get injured? And it's like, yeah, those are very real things. And I think there are players out there who would take that deal anyway, like kind of like the whole thing that happened with the Braves and Ozzie Albies. And I don't blame him for doing that. If he felt he needed the money and it was guaranteed, I get it. But I also think there's got to be some kind of protection in place here that says, like, you can't just prey on these kids and say, like, hey, you could get hurt tomorrow. We're coming back to the spike in the protein drink thing that you mentioned earlier, Bo.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
Somebody who is less than above board about the way that they handle things doesn't do something here if you don't take this contract. So that's why I don't like this. I'm not particularly interested in looking out for ownership because I don't care if they lose money. They've all got plenty of it. Get over it. If they're refusing to spend it, it's because they're refusing to spend it. And guess what? They were going to do that anyway, whether this contract got signed or not. So I don't need to do that. I don't care. But I do care very much about players getting taken advantage of. So I guess, like, yeah, like, Bo, you were kind of saying, like, so you're like a hard no. You don't want any of these. And Irby, you were saying it depends on the person. And, like, for me, I think it's more like, yeah, I think if you've never, the ones where the person has never spent a day in the majors, I feel like, no, you shouldn't even be allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a real no. These guys have been around for about a year. So the Nick Kurtz is his world, right? Like, and Kurtz is smart. He's not going to take this. He should, because they are lowballing him. So, yeah, if he gets hurt, he blows out a knee and can never play again tomorrow, that's going to be a real bummer. But if he wants to bet on himself, and there's no reason he shouldn't, that contract's going to be a ripoff in a couple of years. So he is smart to turn that down. But what happens when the next person comes along who's not so smart and the team is slightly less above board? And, like, I mean, do you trust the A's to be, like, fair?
No.
The A's. God, fuck your whole fan base over. So, yeah. I don't trust these guys. I don't think they should be allowed to do this because it's like the whole thing with the creeping down of the age where they sign people, you know? It's like, well, we've got this 14-year-old in our minor league system. We've got this 12-year-old in our minor league system. It's like the younger they are, the more desperate they are, the easier it is to take advantage. I don't like it.
No, those are all good points. And I mean, at the end of the day, like I really don't intend to be pro owner. My God, but I did come off that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think hopefully no one is confusing you with like some weirdo who defends billionaires'
right to be
dicks. But like, you know, I did want to point that out. It's like, because I think that's part of the problem is a lot of the time, all of us, like, it's different when it's a strike, right? But when it's stuff like this, we all have this knee-jerk reaction where we're like, oh my God, don't waste the money. We might need it for something else. And it's like, hey, you know, these idiots could pay for that and the something else if they wanted to. So we need to stop acting like we need to protect them from making a bad deal as though they couldn't do that and then suddenly be, you know, impoverished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I never have understood the rush. Like, you're not competing.
Yeah.
You're not competing with another team here. Unless they are. Maybe they are. Maybe they got some weird off-season bingo card for all we know. But
well, but I think that's the problem is they're telling themselves they are competing with other teams because what they're doing is assuming that they won't be able to keep this person long-term if they don't do this. So they're competing for this person's services down the road.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's a gamble, but I think they are. But I still think that's the wrong way to look at it because I think you're right. It's like, okay, so you're just bidding against yourself in a way that we know is advantageous to you because, like, let's face it, you know, like, people who own sports teams are not doing that out of the goodness of their heart, and that's fine, right? But we need to remember that, like, no, they're not offering this to you, guy, because you're special and because they love you and because they want you to be the face of the franchise. They're offering it to you because they think it's a better deal than the one they're going to get down the road. So, or they're anticipating that they won't be able to afford your services. So something to keep in mind.
I am curious though, because we got the new CBA coming up. Is this something, is the whole player under club control for 6 years, is that a chip that the owners are willing to trim down or get rid of to the players to get the salary cap they want?
Yeah, okay, well, that's
curious.
I mean, it's possible. I don't think it would be enough, but could it be a piece?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think you might see some changes here. Yeah, for sure.
And at the very least, I mean, we gotta get rid of this thing where people are signing minor eagers to this.
Yeah, right?
Like this is just for so many reasons, just we can't have this. Yep. Harvey, all right, you have any final thoughts on this before we move on?
It was just interesting to your explanation, and I'm kind of the same with Bo. I'm thinking it more from a team operating standpoint, not thinking from the owner standpoint, because yes, not pro owner. Although I do look forward to the day that we have an owner that comes out and says, "I'm the first nonprofit owner."
Never going to happen.
No, one of them's going to try it. One of them's going to try it. I'm here. I'm nonprofit. Yeah, sure
you are.
It has worked for other entities that are not actually nonprofits, so it wouldn't surprise me. We have had people get away with this in other industries.
Yeah.
So it's possible. Yes. The poor Gap guy who had to move his team 3 times and now needs to prey on a rookie. Because he didn't sell enough jeans to move to Las Vegas as fast as he wanted,
or whatever this was. Oh boy! All right. Anything else on this?
Extensions for feral cats.
Well, that I'm always in favor of.
Absolutely. Maybe that's what you should be focusing on right now. Extend the feral cats. I would run on that platform. Okay. Enough. I think.
Yep. All right. Irby, you're up. Where are you taking us now?
Well, I'll let you decide, Bo. Do you want to laugh or you want to cry? What do you want to do?
Oh, you know what's bad is I actually don't know which one I'd rather do right now. I don't know what that means.
I think you should say cry just to bug him. If he's had a right answer, and so you should say cry.
Okay, I'd rather cry first.
You want to cry first? All right, cool. You guys ready? It's baseball season. Let's play another round of Benji Molina cycle trivia.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to be crying either way by the end of this. Irby, do you want to quickly explain to the people how Benji Molina cycle trivia works?
And how it's a little bit differently
than what you might be expecting?
It is a little bit different. So Benji Molina, one of our beloved heavier catchers, the wonderful Molina brothers and everything. I had a wonderful day where he would never hit a cycle until the pigs flew, and then he hit a cycle. But Benji Molina, how this cycle works, obviously the questions I'm going to be asking everyone, they will get harder. So we start off with a single, a double, and we do a home run and then a triple, because Benji Molina was not really known for his triples. So that's going to be our hardest one. So single, double, home run, triple. That's our order. You guys ready?
Oh, as ready as I'll ever be.
No.
All right. Well, the theme, we kind of already touched on this already. We are an hour away from the World Baseball Classic starting up. Finally having live games and everything. I believe it's Chinese Taipei and Australia play off of the first one. So, you're single. This is our 6th year of the WBC. Can you name the 5 champions?
All of them? The easiest question, you're going to make us answer all. We have to answer all the winners?
Well, it's just okay. 5.
Okay. Japan?
Okay, wait. So Japan's the most recent one, right? So that's...
They also won the first one, didn't they? Didn't Japan win the first one?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to go in order so we don't get confused.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, it was Japan. The last one was Japan.
And then before that was Team USA, right?
And then, yeah, before that was the US, and before that was the DR.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. And you said Japan won the first one. So we're missing the second one,
which would be in the year 2009.
I mean, I'm going to guess it was also Japan.
Yeah, I think Japan won the first
two. It could be the US. Because, wait, the US has only won one.
Oh, Wait a minute. Yes, the U.S. has only won one.
Then it has to be Japan, doesn't it? Because who else would it be?
Did Japan win the first two?
I just can't think of who else it would be for the second one. If we're saying we know Japan won the first one, we know the U.S. has only won once, so it almost has to be Japan
that
won the second one.
Did Puerto Rico win one? I can't remember.
I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I don't think so.
Yeah, let's go with Japan. So Japan, Dominican,
DR,
USA, Japan again.
Yeah, I think that's our answer, I hope.
Yeah.
Good job, a nice, hard, slapping single right up the middle. Well done, okay. Guys.
Okay.
Had you talked yourselves out of that Japan one at the end, I was going to say, well, you got the single, and then you turn left after rounding first base, and you got tagged out.
Yeah.
I almost, when you said it, I almost went, great job. Then y'all kept talking. I was like, no, let him go a little longer. But good job. Good job. Good single, y'all. Well done. All right. Now you ready for your double? Though. Sure. They are not really known for their baseball. How many different European countries have played in the WBC?
That's the double.
Okay. Well, now you're just getting, yeah, this is ridiculous. We just have to guess, right? There is no.
All right. Europeans.
So, we're just guessing. So, like.
Great Britain, Italy.
Bo, don't even bother. It's a ridiculous question. Like, I'm calling shenanigans on this question because you're just forcing us to guess. So there's no way to figure this out. So I am calling shenanigans.
Okay. Should we just throw out a number?
Sure, why not? There's nothing else we can do. So I'm playing this question under protest.
All right, let's go with six.
Six is a good guess. Well, look at this year's lineup. Look at this year's teams. And you've got four of them there. Four of the six. Sorry, four of the six. Look at that. Now I'm just acting like Bo. The actual answer is five.
Damn it. I almost said five.
And four of them were in the last one. Italy, the Netherlands, Czechia, or Czech Republic, and Great Britain. The only other one, way back in 2013, Spain, was in the WBC.
Huh. I don't understand how they determine
it. Right? Spain. That was one I was like, Spain. And that's, well, the reason behind this is because I knew with this year's field, you would have Italy, Netherlands, Czech Republic, and Great Britain. But the Spain one, I can tell you that I remember the jerseys.
Like, how do you get to a point where you're like, you're allowed to play, you're not? You are encouraged to do so, so you better form a team, but not you. Like, it's not like I was expecting, like, I don't know, like, Latvia to have a team, but, like...
Maybe they just take volunteers. Who wants to go play in this America?
Well, that's pretty much how the American team works, so...
Spain called up, hey, we actually got 25 guys. Really? All right, y'all get to play. All right. Moving on to your home run. Look at there. Man, I'm even messing up. Too much other sports. Need to get back into baseball. Your home run for our third one, and this goes back to before, you had your five different winners of the WBC. Can you name the four MVPs?
No.
I can't. I have nothing on that.
I cannot.
The winners had the MVP. There was no of this, oh, the losing team had the best player. No, the winning team had the MVP all five times.
That does not help me at all. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and assume that Ohtani was the MVP in the last one.
Correct.
And
so think those early Japanese teams.
I think I know who one of them is. I think it's Dice K. But I'm not sure about the other one. So.
Oh, I thought you said Dice K won both of them. Because that's what you said, right?
No. Should I have?
I think that's what you said. That's what I
do. You think is that? That's totally what I said. Yes. Okay. That's what I said. That's what
right.
I said.
Yeah. Dice okay. K won both okay. of them.
So Dice K and Dice K, which feels less believable, actually. The fact that he won those is less believable even that I said that. So that's a weird one, for sure.
I can make it even less than that. Over those 2 years, two tournaments, he had six starts. He was 6-0 with a sub-2 ERA.
And you'd love to know what his actual numbers during that time looked like. I doubt they looked anything like that.
Right.
Okay, so we've got all the Japan ones. So we're looking for somebody from the DR and somebody from the U.S. DR was like, okay, are we allowed to know what year was that DR one? Was that 2013? Okay. Yes. So I'm going to guess that's Robinson Cano.
Yeah. I was trying to. Boom! I was blanking. I was blanking on his name. I was like, damn it. I need former Yankee.
Okay.
And Mariner.
So all right, maybe we can figure this out. So, okay. So 2017 U.S. team.
Let's see.
So. I mean, who was that? I'm trying to think, who do I know for a fact was on that team?
Trey Turner had the big knock in the championship game. But was that enough to get into the MVP?
Maybe it's Trey Turner. It might be. So I guess that's maybe that's the answer. I'm just trying to think. I wish I remembered who the pitchers were, since that seems to be a popular pick here.
Mm-hmm.
Dice K. But yeah, I mean, maybe it's Trey Turner. Like, that might be enough. I don't know.
I can't think of anyone else on that team.
I think maybe we should just go with it.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, we're just going to be guessing. Because, like, I don't, other than. Like, who was even, yeah, see, because I don't even really remember who pitched for that team.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, Breslow, hilariously, and I'm sure he was not the MVP, so.
No, I will give you that one, no.
So, yeah, so, like, all right, let's go with Trey Turner, then.
Okay. Yep.
All right, so Dice K, Cano, Turner, Otani.
Yeah.
Guys, great pitch. Solid contact. Unfortunately, it was caught at the warning track. Trey Turner was the hero that day. That is correct. But Marcus Stroman was the MVP for Team USA that year.
Interesting. I have no memory of this.
I don't either.
Marcus. Wow. Don't even remember him being on that team. Okay, cool. Good job, Marcus. Sure. Wow.
Thank you, Marcus, for getting this there. Yeah, but good job on your Japanese and your y'all been hitting Japan well tonight. Well done.
Only gotten one question right technically, but A for effort.
But you've gotten all the Japanese right.
But we got all the stuff about Japan right, so I don't know what that says. But I'm sure it's important.
Godzilla would be proud.
That's really all I need, honestly. So,
all right, and your triple. Which definitely, yes, we'll be guessing. But there's a chance. There's a chance. Who is the all-time WBC home run leader?
Thanks, K. I'm just kidding.
No, that home run's giving up.
The all-time WBC home runs leader. Okay. Is this a person we've actually heard of?
I believe you have heard of him. I will give you the hint. He has never played a single game in the majors.
Okay.
Has he ever played a game in the minors?
In the American minors? No.
Yeah. Okay, so we're looking for somebody from NPB who was really good, who never came.
Yeah, That's what we're looking for.
To American baseball, basically.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea.
I don't either, yeah.
I honestly have no clue. I mean, I'm assuming it's somebody from MPP, but that could be wrong, too. I really have no clue. I can't think of a single person who meets that criteria. Everyone I can think of who played in Japan and didn't come here who was that good was a pitcher. So
then I will help you there.
Okay.
Has not played overseas in Japan.
So he's never played anywhere?
No, he played plenty of times. In fact, has played in 4 separate WBCs.
Okay, so he's only ever played in the WBC, but he's never played anywhere else.
No, he's played in others, just not in the America, in the U.S. minors or majors.
Oh,
or in the Japanese
league. By your phrasing. Okay, so you're just saying not those two leagues. So he could have played in, like, you're saying Mexican League, Venezuelan League is third.
Correct. Right?
Okay. I still don't know what the answer is.
But we got that.
And I am way less likely to know who the person is if they were in those leagues and never came to American baseball than I would be if they were in PB. So I think I'm out on this one.
Good job talking it through.
Yeah, I don't know. Good. Sorry. I don't know. I don't have a guess for you. Oh, do you have a guess?
I do not have a guess, no. No guess at all.
So, the WBC home run leader with 7 is one Alfredo Despaigne of the Cuban national team.
Never heard of him.
Alfredo, I don't remember this. I was like, I think I remember. Alfredo, who stands at a very intimidating 5'8", 214 pounds.
Alfredo, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, Alfredo. Wow. Attaboy. That is Williams Acedillo-esque, unfortunately.
And this question, I got to give full credit to Sarah Langs, is where I got this question from. She did the research on that one. Yes. It was one I was like, he also has a career 732 slugging in the WBC. So Alfredo shows up at the WBC.
So this little bowling ball shows up at the WBC once every 3 years, blows everybody's doors off, and has never been offered. I'm upset about this. I want the little tubby little Alfredo to get his shot. I mean, I assume he's just one of those guys who strikes out like 200 times and then hits a ball 400 feet. But like, listen, I respect this like little globby build and his ability to hit home runs. I think that's very cool. So, Team Alfredo, I'm sorry that I didn't know who you were. I'm glad that I do now. I have a lot of respect for this achievement.
Kind of one Alfredo. Of those, like, kind of hope this one doesn't get broken. Like, nobody break his record.
I'm going to be very upset if some boring, like, MLB player who has plenty of accolades. Like, I mean, I love Bryce Harper, but I don't want to see him break this. Yep. Right? That would be very upsetting to me. Like, protect Alfredo. #Alfredo. Protect Alfredo.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hey. Good job. Bo, are you crying? Are you crying?
We got 1 out of 4, so that's way worse than we usually do on these.
Yeah, that was... I'm gonna join Samantha in filing a grievance against all 4 questions.
Even the one you got right?
Yes!
Yes.
We don't know anything about the WBC. Like, we don't know about this. Like, we know about Major League Baseball. It's not our area. I do think that we should file a full grievance about all 4 questions, except for Alfredo. I mean, I'm still filing a grievance about the question. I just want Alfredo left out of the series, because I love him.
It's the one. What are you finding against me? It's not you, Alfredo. You're named in it, but it's not you. Trust me.
No, Alfredo, you're perfect. Yeah, you're just one of those people, like bystander. You're a bystander. I want that now.
It got me thinking, you know, and maybe that's the the compromise I can make for y'all. The next Benji Molina cycle trivia, what if I do an opening day one for you? Will that be better?
As long as it's actually Major League Baseball, I feel like
it will
do better.
It will be all opening day.
Yeah, but we're talking about baseball opening day, like Major League opening day, not Japan opening day, not...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You're right. No, you are correct to pin him down on. That was the right thing to do, though.
When you've done enough trivia with Irby, you know when he goes vague, you gotta call him out on it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to protect the listeners. It's not for me. It's for all of you out there.
Because there's a chance Alfredo's listening. Bud, we appreciate what you did.
Poor Alfredo didn't deserve to get caught up in this.
All right. Well, then we'll shift from the crying to a laugh and everything. This week, earlier this week, we had a very interesting comment from one Giancarlo Stanton, who stated that he doesn't think he can open a bag of chips due to his elbow pain. However, he's looking forward to a healthy season.
Those two things don't go together the way he thinks they do.
I am crippled, but yay baseball. Absolutely, yeah. Totally with you.
Cool. Can't open a bag of chips, but man, I am down for 162 games.
God.
My gosh, that could have been it right there. Like, that's all we could do. Just that right there and have a laugh and move on. But I still got wondering, this week around the house doing chores and daily routine and things like that. What are some other things that, some Major League Baseball players, current and those that have recently retired or been forced to retire, or maybe they're struggling with around the house too? So I'm just going to deliver these and you guys have a laugh, have a comment, however you feel necessary. And the first one, carrying a laundry basket at chest height, full of laundry and everything, it's a static shoulder load. Biceps are tense, upper body stability. Seems like something that a Steven Strasburg or even a Spencer Strider might be struggling with.
Are we talking wet clothes or these are out of the dryer clothes?
I don't think it would matter with the
That's fair.
The shoulder.
It probably wouldn't.
Wiping clean or scrubbing the kitchen countertop, spilled a drink or something like that on there. That rotational oblique load, shoulder, internal, external rotation, things like that, especially if you had a bat speed at one point and then suddenly your bat speed disappeared, like Dan Ugla. Next one, using a handheld vacuum. The repetitive light load, arm, shoulder action, similar to throwing warm-ups. This feels like an injury that we would see from a Lance McCullers Jr.
Ooh. Yeah, that would bug him. That would bother him. That would bother him a lot.
Next one, shoveling dirt or mulch in the yard. Digging a hole, shoveling dirt in there. The full rotational torque, hip to shoulder separation, high stress on the core movement, like a power swing. Maybe this is something that a Mike Zanino struggled with.
Mike Zanino's probably saying he sucks.
And that's why he's shoveling mulch. another one I think we all have to deal with pretty regularly. Changing an overhead light bulb. Unscrewing, you got to have a lot of shoulder stabilization, rotator cuff endurance in the rotator cuff. Probably not something Felix Bautista can do anymore.
Mm-mm.
And then I may be a little absurd or anything, but the simple act of pulling a Kleenex out of a box. Quick, light force, wrist, high risk on your elbow torque. might be what happened to the end of the career of Edwin Encarnacion. Hopefully not pulling many Kleenexes. Stirring mac and cheese quickly after it comes out of the microwave. That circular wrist torque from repetitive forearm motion might be something that Corbin Burns is struggling with.
Oh man, that's just disgusting. You should be suffering if you're eating that.
Yeah, no, microwave gross. Mac and cheese,
that,
gross.
That stuff is disgusting. Ugh, no.
And it leads to forearm injuries. Yes, I agree. And then lastly, typing an email longer than three sentences. You know, that sustained forearm activation, fingers going, stabilization, something where the fourth sentence probably would land you on the 60-day DL. Might be what happened to Dustin May.
Ouch. Poor Dustin.
And then the funniest thing, I think, when I was putting all eight of these together is an honorable mention for all eight, Giancarlo Stanton.
Do you remember when Brandon Inge said that he hurt his back shoving, or I believe the exact words were pushing a pillow underneath of something? He pushed a pillow and threw out his back.
I do remember
that. Yes.
I was like, one of those things that always stuck in my head because my dad called him the pillow pusher forever and laughed hysterically like this meant something. And I think that in my dad's mind it did mean something. I'm just not sure what that thing is. Pillow pusher, whatever that is. But anyway, to Dale, apparently that was something bad. But it stuck in my head ever since then. And it makes me think of this because these were all things I could see something doing and claiming to hurt themselves that way when they actually did something else. That's what they sound like. It's suspicious internet quotes. Like, oh, well, no, I was just taking the Kleenex out of a box. I definitely did not fall on my face while I was out roller skating drunk.
Didn't Brandon Inge sign like an endorsement with a pillow company after that?
Did he? That's funny. I hope so.
I remember hearing that. I need to look that up, but yes.
I hope so.
But yeah, the household tasks, before we move on, do you guys have any other, as soon as I said the task, that you're like, yep, I can think of such and such, but not be able to perform?
Yeah, but I did it wrong because I thought I was supposed to be looking for things that mimicked the exact motion in baseball.
Mm. I see.
I misunderstood the assignment. So I know. Because I was thinking about rolling pin and bunting, that you wouldn't be able to roll, use a rolling pin if you hurt yourself bunting.
So then,
it's pretty much in the same position.
Yeah, then that makes me ask, nowadays players, do any of them know how to use a rolling pin? Since none of them are bunting anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to say nothing of that, I'm sure even the shoulder issue would say they couldn't use a rolling pin. And much of the problems with this, I attribute to the quality of rolling pins which are currently in the market. I think we get a whole show on really different subjects where I complain about the quality of household objects, but we won't do that because this is a baseball show. But you should know that many of the rolling pin related problems are related to the quality of the rolling pin. And I can totally see. Tell me if you agree. But I can totally see, especially ones that have a wife, buying a rolling pin on Amazon. That is how you throw your shoulder rolling out pizza dough.
I think my shoulder just twinged hearing that.
Yeah, no. No, because you know what they're going to do. They're going to be like, I want this in 12 hours. And like, I want to look for the cheapest one. And they're going to buy some rolling pin that costs like $14.99. And this is how you land yourself on the DL making a pie. Yep.
All right. Anything else here before we get into the National League Central?
Nope, that's all I got. I'm looking forward to the Nope, I can't even finish that sentence.
I was about to say. Just really?
Start the National League.
Really? Hey, Samantha, how about you?
We get to talk about the Reds. We get to come back to the Reds.
No.
All right. Well, let's talk about the National League Central, such as it is. Starting off with those Cubbies in Chicago. They're still there, right? They're not moving with the Bears. They're staying put. Okay. All right, so the Cubs, I mean, I was a little surprised with how active they were this offseason. You know, they didn't just get Bregman. They also bring in Cabrera. They addressed the bullpen a little bit. They lost Tucker. But overall, Samantha, what do you think? Is this a better team than it was last year?
I think so. Yeah, the Kyle Tucker thing is like not perhaps as great of a loss as some people seem to think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really wish to give any compliments to Alex Brightman, but this is a team that has more than it started with. So, yeah, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be a better team. I'm not sure how much better, but I don't see any reason why it would technically be better, at least on paper. Yeah.
Irby, how about you?
Oh, I absolutely have this as a better team. I'm about to just call him Armstrong. I guess I have to call him Crow Armstrong. I always want to say Pete Crow, but it's Crow Armstrong. Crow Armstrong and Bush, I both see taking steps forward again in their career. So, yeah, I see this team taking another step forward. And
can we just start
the Cubs to lose?
Can we just start calling Crow Armstrong the law firm like we did with I'm blanking on his name now in the NFL.
He had four names. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah.
He had four. This is only three.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I think this is why everybody's just rolling with PCA, right?
But yeah.
Like, do you guys know that like when I first heard mention of him, it was audio. I was not seeing the back of his jersey, so I thought it was Picro Armstrong. Like, I thought his first name was Picro, because that sounds like something somebody would name a baseball player, right? So, like, I didn't get Pete Crow out of that at all. I thought he was just Picro. So no one was more surprised than me when he had three names.
That's a solid bases-loaded name.
Yep.
Picro.
Picro Armstrong. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Also, thank you for just randomly throwing out Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I had not thought of him in a long time, and I'm happier.
I will never forget him.
All right. Well, unfortunately, Fangraphs does not agree with any of us right now in their projections. They are projecting the 92 win Cubs of last year to slip to 84 wins.
But they think that's the division winner?
Yes.
So they think somebody's winning this division with 84, which is like only one off from the AL Central.
Yes.
Okay. I think you got the right team.
Sure.
The wrong number. Okay. Sure.
All right. So I assume then that you are taking the over.
I will take the over, yes.
Irby, how about you?
I don't know. I want to say under, but still division winner. Yes. They're over, division winner. Maybe they don't get to the 92, but they are going to approach that number, if not get to that 92. This is a 90-plus win team.
I agree. I think they are definitely a 90-win team. 84 wins. Are you kidding me? All right. Well, next, and this is where things really just kind of fall off the tracks with Fangraphs. Next up are the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, here we go.
Who, I mean, they did sign Ryan O'Hearn, and they acquired Brandon Lowe. They brought in Jose Urquidy. I mean, they did make some moves. They actually spent a little bit of money. Samantha, what do you think? What do you have with the Pirates?
No, I think they're going to be a better team this year. I mean, you also have probably the most exciting rookie of the year candidate there. You have Paul Skeens. You have some other pitchers who are not bad. You made at least some effort to get better in the offseason. I don't know that I think this is going to be a good team. I think people are a little bit too excited about them, like this idea that they're like a fringy playoff team. Like, you know, we talked about it earlier in the show, and we'll talk about it here. Like, if there's a fringy playoff team coming out of this division, I don't think it's the Pirates. I also, part of the problem is, I don't think we're getting a wild card out of this division. I don't see any way that we can.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you see what's coming out of the West in particular, but also the East. So I don't see any way a wild card comes out of here. I also don't know that I see Pittsburgh as a second place team, but I think they will be risky, I guess. I think they'll be risky. Might be final.
Yep. Are they good enough to where they're not going to be one of the sellers at the deadline?
I want to say yes, but I feel like these things are probably unrelated.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
I don't know that one informs the other the way that it would for most teams. Put that out there.
Okay, Irby, same questions to you. Pittsburgh Pirates.
First of all, I think Ozuna is already on the trading block. Like, that may just be from the word go. Anybody that wants him, we will make a deal. If we're not sitting here talking second place team, I could have a lot more fun with this because I do. I agree. This is going to be a fun Pirates team to watch. They're going to win some series. They're going to shock some people with scheme. Connor Griffin's going to be great to watch. O'Neill Cruz, I continue to grow. Brian Reynolds is solid. Henry Davis, I got no problem with this Pirates team. I hope they continue moving forward. But to call them second place, I mean, we're going to need to see some disaster in that division. So I can't say that, especially after schemes, Keller, Chandler, Ashcraft, and Urquidy.
Yeah.
Could be worse, but that's not a second place rotation.
All right. The projected win total for the 2026 Pittsburgh Pirates is 82 wins. Samantha, where are you at on this one? It's a tough number.
I think that's a pretty good number, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll take that just slightly under. It's 500 team.
Okay. Irby?
Yeah, I'm under as well. That's what, 11 up from last year. So moving forward, the 500, I'll do 79 win team, 78, 79 wins.
You know what? That's perfect because I'm going to go right in between both of you and say 80.
There we go.
All right. 79, 80, and 81. One of us is going to win, right?
Irby, you're recording all of these, right?
I am.
So, yeah, somebody will, either that or we're all.
All going to lose.
Embarrassing at the end of the year, which is very possible.
Just remember, we all said the Blue Jays would win 74 games last year.
Woohoo!
Hey, that was not the most upsetting prediction that I made last year, actually. So, I'm all right about that one.
Okay, third on the list here, the Milwaukee Brewers, who Samantha, I'm struggling to put my finger on exactly what to make of this Milwaukee Brewers team. You want to help me out? What do you think about them?
I think the same thing I think almost every year, which is I don't believe in this team, and yeah. I'm willing to concede that like in 1 in 8 tries, I'm just going to be wrong.
Uh-huh.
But that it never actually makes any less sense in the years that I'm wrong about it. So I just roll with it. Because until this team starts putting together something like they did back in, like, say, 2008, I'm never going to believe in this team. So I'm cool with being wrong once every, 6 or 8 years when they surprise you and they're actually way better than they appear to be on paper. I'm fine with that. So I'm just going to assume that they're going to be not bad, but also not good.
Okay, Irby, how about you? Are you out on the Brew Crew?
Well, like you said, Samantha, what do I think about this team? And I would have responded to that question with, I don't.
Yes, there it is.
I don't.
That's it.
What do you think about this team? No.
No. With 97 wins last year.
Yeah.
And I still don't believe that happened. You'll never believe that happened.
And you basically bring in everything back for the most part. So, I sure, if we live in a video game, they're in great shape.
If we lived in a video game, they would have already won like 5 World Series.
Right, exactly. No, I think that everybody, not everybody, sorry, most of that team played above who they are last year, and things are going to come out in the wash this year.
Yeah, yeah, that I absolutely 100% agree with. Okay, the projected win total for the Milwaukee Brewers, 81 wins.
Cool, jeez.
They're projected to drop, what, 16 games?
Yeah, that seems insane. I mean, I'll take the over. I don't think they're going to be anything like they were a year ago, and I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're not that bad.
Yeah.
That's just crazy talk. Although, I mean, I do, I think the projection, one thing the projection system does seem to understand, I think we've all established that it does not understand most things, but one thing I think it's good at is kind of nailing people who got out of their skis a year ago and saying, like, this person's performance is not repeatable. Like, that is one of the few things that I think the projection system is pretty good at, and I think that does apply to this team. It's not going to be applicable in this, like, highly extreme manner, because the projection system is still making all the same mistakes it makes on everything else here, right? But, like, that piece of it, yeah, I can see why they're walking it back, for sure.
Irby, how about you? 81 wins.
That 16th is way too much of a drop off. So I'm definitely an over. Like, this team stays healthy, they're gonna win baseball games. And this division really is if it takes just 84 to win it, then yes, they would be in the conversation to win it. Absolutely. But head to head against the Cubs, I'm taking the Cubs.
Yeah.
So I 85, 86 wins here. I don't have them outlasting the Cubs in the end.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking the over as well. Okay, fourth on this list is the team you guys really want to talk about, the Cincinnati Reds. Fourth on this list, the Reds, you know, made some interesting moves this offseason, added some power, worked on the bullpen a little bit. I didn't know this, Irby, but they signed Nathaniel Lowe, apparently, to a minor league contract. I must have missed that somewhere. So, you know.
Good, Nate.
I think he expected to make the roster, so.
All right, yeah. So where are we at here with the Reds, Samantha? Let's start with you.
Oh, we're excited about this. I think this team is going to be sneaky good. Like I was saying earlier, I think this is your best shot at a wild card out of this division because they're interesting. Right? Like, all the pieces aren't there, but there are a lot of really nice pieces here. There are a lot of people here. Take the other side of the Milwaukee thing we were just talking about, right? There's a lot of people here who I think are a lot more capable than what their numbers from a year ago would say. And I think that's going to show up here. And Jorge Rincona is a good manager. He has some flaws, for sure, which is why he hasn't won more World Series. But he is a very, very good manager, especially when it comes to kind of young, scrappy teams. He's really good at getting the most out of teams like that, and that's kind of what they have. I mean, there are some things that are going to need to happen here. You know, with Ellie, obviously, there's some work that needs to be done there. There's some things that need to go right. Certainly with the pitching, there's some things that need to go right. And if those things don't, then this turns into a 75-win team very quickly. But I think they have a lot of potential, and if things break right, they could be at least a fun team, if not a truly competitive team.
All right, Irby, you're up.
These guys made the postseason last year. Like they did. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, but I mean, it's the Mets gave it away, and the Reds were there. And I remember we were talking about, you know, kudos to this ownership at the deadline doing something. Yeah. You know, we didn't think it would be enough, but they did, and then it ended up being enough. I agree with you. I think there's some players here. Matt McLain, I definitely see a bounce back year from him. I don't think he was anywhere near healthy last year. Chase Burns, if you haven't seen him yet, you're going to enjoy. Like, it's fun to watch. Like if Hunter Green can stay healthy, this is a team that definitely has the potential. I would love to know, though, you know, we made all the jokes about Devers last year. Do you think they've taken Eugenio Suarez's glove away and just said, you're hitting. You will never be out here You just can't hurt.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I would hope so.
You just hit. But the Francona factor as well. Absolutely. I'm not betting against this team to do something because they did it last year. It didn't work in October, but at the end of the season, they were finding ways to win games and put themselves in the playoffs. So keep building, Reds.
All right. Well, the projection from Fangraphs, 78 wins for the Reds. I think I know your answers, but go ahead, Samantha.
No, I'll take you over there.
Yeah. Derby.
Over, and what did I say? 86 for the Brewers, so then I got to go 87 for the Reds, the second place team.
Wow. All right. I'm also going to take the over. I don't know about 87, though. I think they could get to 85. I'll give them 85.
Yeah, I was thinking 84 or 85, but I also was hoping the Brewers would put it down. So
Yeah.
It just depends, I think, on
okay. All right, last on the list before we call it a week, the St. Louis Cardinals, who traded basically everyone except their manager, Samantha. All the big names are gone. We are rebuilding in St. Louis. And this actually for once looks like an actual rebuild from St. Louis, not a we're going to sell off some pieces, but you know, bring some guys up and still contend. I feel like I can safely say this team is not going to contend this year. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, no, we do that every year, right? We're like, no, but the Cardinals, they're going to sneak in there because it was almost always true. And I think last year we finally had Jordan Pelham, this year for sure. Yeah, they're not even pretending, right? I mean, this is also like, look, guys, I don't ever want Klein Blue in charge of my baseball team, and this is why. So I just, some rebuilds are more necessary than others, mm-hmm. and I don't think this is it. And they have one of the most well-informed fan bases
yep.
in all of Major League Baseball. And those people are mad. And it is showing up in ticket sales. Mm-hmm. And they should be. And now we're getting these, like, garbagey promos. Like, $29, everything included. Like, oh, my God.
I did see that.
It's horrendous. Horrendous. Like, no. Whatever that is, you don't want it. But it is, I think, reflective of the fact that it's like, yeah, there are rebuilds that have to happen, and there are rebuilds that happen because that's how this person runs orgs, and they get obsessed with trimming fat and with squeezing blood out of stones in situations where it's no longer necessary to do so. And that's kind of my opinion on Bloom, I guess, that I felt that he was a terrible fit in Boston. And a not much better fit in St. Louis, and that I think if you train these guys up on, like, here's how it works in Tampa, they kind of can't let go of it. I mean, look at how long it took Andrew Friedman even to, like, adjust adding the least amount of money to the most amount of money. It was not an immediate
mm-hmm.
transition, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't love what he does, especially for a team like this that I think didn't need the hard rebuild. I'm sure they got value back. They're not stupid. So the rebuild is going to work in a way that a lot of rebuilds don't. And it will probably take less time, but I also think it was completely unnecessary and avoidable. And I hate that for Cardinals fans because it's just there was no reason for this to happen. I don't think the hard reset was in any way the only way to get things back on track.
Yeah. I agree. Irby?
$29 all you can eat. The timing of that was not accidental.
No.
You know the product on the field. You know what's about to happen. And the fan base, yeah. You think this fan base has been upset? Wait till you finish behind the Pirates.
Wait till you actually have a season where you finish last.
Well, that's what's about to happen.
I know that. Not just behind the Pirates, behind everybody.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
That's usually the same thing, though. So
that's also true. All right, And once again, we have a number that I just flat out can't explain. The projected win total for the Cardinals, 75 wins.
Oh, that's way too high. These, by the way, Bo, no, these are not nearly as ridiculous as the AL Central.
Okay.
Not even close. Like that. First of all, the order of teams was a lot closer to something that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And also the win totals are not nearly as crazy for most teams. But I do think that that is unfortunately
too high. It's way too high. Irby?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going under. You're not hitting 70.
No. Yeah. No. This team is going to be in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
This team is going to be in the. I feel pretty confident saying that this team is going to be in the 60s.
I agree with you.
And that's how confident do you have to be to go through all the PTSD that I have projecting Cardinals seasons? I have a lot of PTSD there. So that's how confident I am that they're going to be in the 60s.
The thing, though, is we were usually right about it. That's the thing. We had that prediction because it was almost always true. Yeah. We've only been wrong twice on it. That's why it paid off. That's what I mean. Is that shouldn't be a traumatic prediction for you. Because we ran that thing into the ground because it just didn't stop working, even if it should have. But I know what I mean.
So, Bo, since it was so traumatic, do you want to be bold here? Is this a 100 loss team?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. You've traded away every known name on that roster, and you have a manager that apparently doesn't get along with his players. That's a 100 loss team.
Interesting. You know, it's not, and my instinct is to be like, nah, but the more I think about it, I'm like, maybe. It's possible. Maybe they can sign Kyler Murray. Just to come full circle to the beginning of the show.
Boy. All right. Anything else on the Central before we call it a week?
I wanted to go ahead, Irby. No, I don't need any more of this division.
No, I the reason I was asking the 100, I did the quick research and it has occurred, but not since 1908, they were 105 loss team. But modern, what we call modern era baseball, what, like in the 20s, right?
No, modern era goes back to the merger of the AL and NL, so it's 1903 usually.
Okay, so yeah, then they've got a couple hundred law. They had a good stretch there from 1905 to 1910 that they lost over 90 games six straight years. So,
oof.
It's been a minute.
That's a rough stretch, goodness.
It's been a minute, but is that 100 loss there? Oof.
Yikes.
Was it Dustin May? That did you win? Was it the Dustin May of it all?
Probably. Probably was. No, it's just going to be a bad baseball team in St. Louis, and nothing really more to add to it. All right, wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show, help us out with that algorithm so we get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week, pick your diamond. Baseball, World Baseball Classic, college baseball, college softball. All of it's up. Pick one. It's good for you.